Welcome to Let's Talk About Tests Baby, a weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and other general geekery. My name's Jem Hill, and I'll be your host. Hello, listeners. Welcome to episode 26. Before I get on to the meat of this week's show, I want to talk about non-testy things. This weekend, the weekend of the 14th and 15th of November, is Thought Bubble in Leeds, which is a comics convention, and I will be attending and volunteering. I'll be helping out in the TB marquee. So if anyone listening is going along, I'll be one of the red shirt volunteers. I am very excited. And next Thursday, it is the North West Tester Gather Up in Manchester, and James Lindsay is going to be talking, which I'm going to, and I'm very excited about that as well. So that is all the newsy stuff. So let's get on with the show. This week's show is called Nobody's Perfect, because testing can never be 100% said to be done and finished. I mean, websites in general never really reach a state of done, because there's always got to be stuff that you want to change or improve based on feedback or new stuff that's coming out. Or if you're under the limitation of a fixed timeline or a fixed budget or whatever, then there's going to be features that you've prioritised over others that you, and the ones that you had to deprioritise, you want to come back to. So websites and testing and documentation, never 100% done. It's quite hard to get that across to clients sometimes. They want everything to be perfect before it goes live, and they just want constant testing and tweaks, and you end up with sites that are delayed going live for ages if you don't put your foot down and say, right, no, it needs to go live on this date. I mean, sometimes get it. Some clients are quite happily, like, filling in backlogs and accepting that you can't test everything. Other clients want everything just so before going live. So you can put in, like, a definition of done and do lots of work up front in the planning stage. Lay out what you're going to provide, what support and device, browser support, device support and accessibility that you're going to do, things like that, just to help lay out exactly what's going to get done and what's going to get tested and those sort of expectations around that. Because of course the client wants perfect. In my case, we do e-commerce websites, so of course they want the site to be perfect. That's how they make their money. And even if it's not an e-commerce site, you still want a site that's usable, whether it be informational or just to bring revenue in through getting people to the site who then contact you to buy something that way. And we obviously don't want to give them work that isn't good. We don't want to give them shoddy work. We want to give them quality. That's why we have a QA and test team. But at the same time, you have to be realistic about, in the time given, what you can provide and the constraints, whether that be with some third-party integration that the client needs us to use, the systems that we're using, things like that. So we do sprint-based testing, which means at the end of a sprint I get a chunk of features and I test the features, and I generally tend to focus on the features in front of me when I'm testing those. So I'll test the story, and then I'll do exploratory testing, focusing on the parts that are the highest risk, including integration with other parts of the system, and then do any of the browser and accessibility testing around that specific part of the system and feature. But I still might miss things. It's impossible to test all scenarios and all data in all contexts. And even if it was possible, it wouldn't be sensible. It wouldn't be a sensible use of time. At the end of the day, you can't prove an absence. So testing can't prove without a doubt that there aren't any bugs as such. It just means that we might not have found them. It's a risk assessment. It's a list of priorities of what needs to be tested, then what should be tested, then some exploratory testing based off what the first two bits expose. And you go from there. And when we pass something to the client, we can't say this is perfect. We can say this has gone through our internal processes and we are confident that this piece of work is of a high quality and a high standard. But chance of the client bringing back bugs is still, there's still a chance of it. Over the course of the project, you can learn more about what the client wants from the project and their biases and how that affects their view and use of the site. And you can kind of take that into how you test sometimes. And it's the parts you focus on, like, if you know some clients are strict about, they want the functionality to work, but they really want the design to be pixel perfect. If they are, they're really focused on the visual, then you can put a bit more effort into making sure the visual works. And is perfect across the browsers that we're supporting and things like that. I mean, obviously you still have to draw a line, you still have to be sensible about the testing, and you can't make everything look this exactly the same across every browser, going back to IE8 or whatever. And we do try to guide clients during the discovery and the planning phase as to what we follow as best practice and what we think is best for the project. And we'll change our way of working to theirs. Like I said, I will take their biases and the specifics of their project into account. As I'm doing the exploratory testing, I'll go, right, well, I know this client, I know they have a lot of these type of users, or I know they'll want it to work like this in this browser or whatever. And during the planning and the discovery phase, and when we introduce the clients to the way of working, we try to let them know how we work, try to manage their expectations, which is a terrible phrase, but we make sure that nothing is a surprise. When we explain the UAT process, we'll say that you will probably find some issues just because that is the nature of it. If there's me testing and I'll do exploratory testing, and then it goes out to 6 people all using different configurations of browsers and operating systems and devices and third-party modules and plugins installed and apps installed, there's going to be a difference because we can't replicate absolutely everything. So we'll let them know that they probably will find some issues, but we don't anticipate major issues. We mostly anticipate small ones. Not all of them will be bugs. Sometimes it'll be just them not quite getting how the new system works, or it'll be like a change request as opposed to something not working right. And we will push back on some of them if we think it's necessary. We will look at all tickets they put on the system, but sometimes we'll turn around and go, yeah, this isn't a bug, it's a change request, it needs to go into the backlog, or actually this works this way because of this, this is just, you just need to get used to the new system and how it works. And yeah, there's always the clients who, when they find a bug in UAT, will just be like, oh my gosh, there's a bug, why didn't you catch this bug? You should have tested better, and they'll point the finger and they'll blame and everything. And we just kind of shrug and take it in our stride and move on because we know what the situations are like. If it is a bug that I should have caught, and it's very rare that that happens in a situation that I've missed a bug that I definitely should have caught, then yeah, we'll look into it and see what went and why I missed it. But chances are it's a bug that it's a weird circumstance that I wouldn't have been able to replicate or wouldn't have thought to test that way. And so I'm quite glad that the teams that I work on and the company I work for are very much the same. They're like, yeah, well, it's, you know, we take it as something to learn from if we need to. And that's it. It's not like a blame game, which I'm really grateful for. At the end of the day, while testing is a part of quality, quality isn't just testing. Every member of the team brings their own speciality and bias and knowledge and context to a project. And it's all those different inputs that make a quality project, because everyone works together as a team, it's a true team effort, and just bringing the different suggestions and ideas and ways of working to the project. And that's how you deliver a quality product in the end. Quality has to be built into the project, not tested into it. Testing mops up the edges, make sure we're not lost sight of any of the details or putting the site together, make sure we're hitting targets we need to hit, making sure there's not been any, you know, misunderstandings anywhere. But the actual hard work of quality, I'm not saying that testing isn't hard work, but you've got to spread it out, the work of quality, throughout the whole project. It's got to be from the planning stage, the implementation, through to testing, and then kind of beyond, because testing isn't perfect. It can't cover 100% of everything. So you have to make sure that the work is as high quality as possible all the way through the project. And all that together reduces the possibility of there being any bugs, but obviously doesn't eliminate them entirely, because you can't test everything. And unlike testing, this podcast episode is now done. Thank you for listening. As always, I am open to feedback and constructive criticism. Just want to say hi. Drop me a line, letstalkabouttests@gmail.com or @letstalktests on Twitter. All the info about the show can be found on letstalkabouttests.xyz. And I will talk to you next week. Bye.